Welcome to the Real Docs Podcast. Hosted by Dr. Britt Lesher and Dr. Lisa John. Tune in every Wednesdays for new episodes. This podcast does not act as medical advice and should not be used as a substitute for medical care. Please contact your healthcare professional for questions regarding your health.
Welcome back to Season 2, Episode 5. Oh my goodness, we're breezing through this.
Wow.
I'm your co-host, Dr. Britt Lesher.
And I'm Dr. Lisa Chung.
And today we're going to be talking about acne. All of the things that can possibly cause acne and kind of our naturopathic perspective on how we go about treating acne and some of the things that we've kind of been recommending to our patients who've been suffering with acne. So why don't we just kind of dive right in? What is acne? Let's just start there. There are lots of different health skin conditions that can happen on the skin. But when we talk about acne, we're really talking about the presence of those like pimples, the type of essentially lesions that can cause eruptions. Some people, experience acne in different forms, different places of their body, even on their back and not on their face. So we're going to be kind of breaking down like the different kinds of acne that you can see and what they could possibly be caused by.
Yeah. And acne is defined as an inflammatory skin condition, usually due to some clogging of your sebaceous gland, which is usually within your hair follicle. Basically, when they are clogged, that's basically the contributor and the cause to the eruptions that Dr. Britt was mentioning. What's really interesting is that things that can clog up the sebaceous gland can be oil, dead skin, bacteria. One thing that a lot of, I think in conventional medicine doesn't really get talked about, but we do a lot in naturopathic, integrative, and functional world, is even fungus can cause acne. So just little PSA that it's not always bacteria.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people don't know that on your skin, there is actually a whole diverse group of bacteria and even fungus that live on our skin that are there as a protection. We talk so much about like our little critters being our army or our soldiers. And so a lot of times this, bacteria that causes acne can live naturally on our skin. Some people are more susceptible to developing acne in response to that bacteria than others, in response to that fungus compared to others. So I think an important piece that a lot of people miss out on is really understanding their own body's their unique response to their flora. Sometimes a lot of people can have a disruption of flora, even in their gut that can relate to their skin. We often in naturopathic medicine talk about the skin being the window to our gut health and how a lot of times when there's things going on internally, it can show up as the symptom of acne. So ultimately, acne is a sign that there could be things going on underneath that you need to take a deeper dive look into.
Yes, so important. And I think we can talk about kind of the different factors that contribute or cause acne. So conventionally, I think the most thing that they talk about, and a lot of the conventional stuff also is something that we talk a lot in naturopathic medicine as well. But conventionally, most times they talk about, medications that can cause hormones, but more in the sense of like when you're stressed or when you're in puberty and that kind of sort of stuff. Hygiene, I think that kind of goes in general in terms of what's hygiene like to kind of upkeep your skincare, all that stuff, even things like skin and hair products and just excessive sweating. But that kind of goes hand in hand with like oil production, more of the hormone, that kind of sort of stuff. In naturopathic medicine, alongside everything we just mentioned, Dr. Britt also mentioned this already, we really talk a lot about the gut-skin axis because our skin microbiome is strongly associated with our gut microbiome, hormonal imbalance, whether it's sex hormones, even cortisol, diet, nutrient deficiencies. Stress is always going to be a big thing that we talk about.
For sure.
Even just environmental toxins, or even toxins from the products that you use, as well as a lot of like food sensitivity, allergies, that sort of a picture. So it's a really vast world of different factors when it comes to acne.
Yeah. And I think most people, if you have been dealing with acne and you've gone to see a conventional provider to complain about, you know, symptoms of acne, a lot of times you're given one of three things commonly that I see. Either you're put on some sort of tretinoin cream or even considered giving like the oral tretinoin, like,
Accutane.
I wanted to say retinol, but it's a retinol-based kind of, it's a vitamin A derivative, essentially. How the Accutane is working, essentially, is by shrinking your sebaceous glands so that you don't produce as much sebum, which leads to the clogging of the pores. Another thing that I commonly see people given is either topical or oral antibiotics, again, because the bacteria has an impact on clogging the pores and also creating the inflammation. The idea is that if you eradicate all of the bacteria, that somehow just will go away. So a lot of people are put on oral antibiotics or given topical antibiotics. The last thing that I commonly see patients given all the time, even without testing any of their hormones, which is crazy to me, is spironolactone. And how spironolactone is used, essentially, it's used in a way to decrease your androgen production, which then leads to less sebum production or less oil production on the skin. And so commonly people are on one, or even I've seen people on all three of these types of medications, which is just crazy because it's not addressing, again, the root cause of if there's something going on underneath hormonal-wise, stress-wise, gut-wise, if there's an imbalance of flora or if there's just an inappropriate amount of sebum production that's happening or inflammation that is creating all of those kind of pustules or cystic acne.
Yeah. And for a lot of the females, minus, you know, spironolactone or sometimes even with it, birth control pills.
Amen.
Probably one of the common things that also
our favorite.
Yes, our favorite.
Or we're being sarcastic.
Yes.
Disclaimer.
If you can't tell. And then topically, I'm sure everybody, you know, who's grown up with acne or know someone with acne, benzoyl peroxide or salicylic acid topically. Things by like Neutrogena, Clean and Clear, name dropping here.
Yep.
you know, those kind of topical things. And you know what's really interesting is the antibiotics. The common bacteria that they're trying to eradicate is the Propionibacterium acne strain.
I recently read that they renamed it too.
Really?
They call it Cutibacterium now. I don't know why they renamed it.
Cutibacterium.
But we learned it as that.
Yeah.
Propionibacterium.
I like that name better. Cutibacterium.
Cutibacterium.
Anyways, so... What's really interesting is the antibiotics is basically trying to eradicate this bacteria, right? And whether it's things I've seen from social media or even patients of mine who've come to me and say, oh, I don't take B12 because it's supposed to be more acne flaring. And I kind of want to talk about this a little bit because I think there's a lot of this information that's on social media and everything is that there's a theory, not cause and effect, 100% happen, but a theory that B12 is something that this Cutibacterium, Propionibacterium acnes uses to proliferate, aka grow, and essentially, theoretically, cause more acne eruptions, right? I find that so...
It's a stretch.
I can see that, but it kind of gets into this, like, danger zone, if you will, because a lot of times, especially patients of mine who've seen other providers and are now seeing me, they're like, oh, I don't take B12 because they told me B12 can cause acne because of this theory. So I don't take B12, period. Mm-hmm. And We know from various episodes that we discuss in terms of the importance of B12, especially for our nerve and brain function, our energy, you know, macrocytic anemia, so many different things. Like, name one pathway that B12 isn't involved in. You know, that's how involved B12 is when it comes to our body. When people start going deficient, and a lot of people are already deficient B12. And they go into more of a state of deficiency because they're eliminating or not even taking B12. That just causes so much of this vicious cycle because guess what? Kind of like what we alluded to earlier, nutrient deficiencies can be also a factor when it comes to causing more acne. So you're not taking B12 to not flare up acne, but you're going to deficiency state, which is going to really disrupt a lot of different pathways, including detoxification, which guess what? Same thing for acne, anything skin eruption, a big window into what's going on, not only with the gut, but in terms of liver function too. So it's this vicious cycle. So I just at least want to address that you don't have to be afraid of B12. You don't have to go overboard and take, you know, 10,000 micrograms of B12 every single day, but it's important that you get some good B12 supplementation or from your diet, things like that, so that you're upkeeping your levels. But if you're really afraid that it's going to flare up your acne with this B12, then it's this fine tuning.
I think that's a big plug for like working with a provider who can accurately assess your nutrient levels too, because there is something wrong with a provider telling you just like broad sweeping statements like that to stay away from a whole nutrient group. I think like being mindful of what your serum levels are, what your blood levels say your nutrient levels are, and then getting an accurate dose recommendation from a provider who's like trained to prescribe those nutrients is something that is very important. A lot of times you'd be surprised, a lot of people that are giving these wide sweeping statements online are not actually credentialed to do such a thing, right? So I think that's just another plug again for doing your research and making sure when you're taking advice from the internet, you know, do the research to see what the source of that information is, because there's obviously a lot of misinformation going on out there. You brought up a really good point too about like not only is the gut skin axis very important in treating, but also being mindful of just hygiene, like you mentioned. Like I often will ask patients, you know, what is your current regimen? What do you usually do? How do you clean your skin? How often do you clean your skin with a situation like acne? Because a lot of people are either not doing a good job at really cleaning their skin. And I've even done a trial myself of like, okay, if I wear makeup that day, I'll do a wash. And this is where the fad of like double cleansing has come into play, because people are not washing their skin thoroughly the first time. But I've even done a trial of myself of like using a really good cleanser, really trying to be as like thorough as possible to get off all of the makeup. But then even when I leave the shower or wherever I'm washing my face and try to clean again with like a cotton pad and a little bit of like a toner or something like that, I'll notice even more makeup. So it's like, you need to really be thorough in when you cleanse your skin, because like anywhere in your body, if you don't cleanse properly, if you half-ass brushing your teeth, if you half-ass washing your body, right, there's going to be bacteria left and build up, and that leads to clogging of your pores.
Mm-hmm. I love double cleansing. I'm a double cleanser. Everybody pretty much should be. Almost everybody. And there's also, you know, what's interesting is like the over cleansing too, because when you're stripping away so much of your natural oil, guess what? Your body basically fights back to be like, oh, you know what? We're stripping away all this moisture and all this oil. I don't have any. So I'm going to overproduce so that we can replenish. And then by that overproduction, you're contributing to more of that clogging that can happen and more acne. So common thing that a lot of people say is like, oh, I don't moisturize because if I do, I get oily. Mm-hmm. But really, it's the lack of the hydration or lack of the oil that you have on your natural skin, or replenishing with the moisture that your body is basically as a defense mechanism overproducing those oils and then contributing to acne even more. So this is also important. You know, skincare is such a broad topic, but really important that you find the right type of products, right formulation that fits your skin type, and, you know, maybe work with an esthetician or even dermatologist and things like that, who can guide you in terms of, oh, what is your skin type? You know, these are going to be more products that's going to work better for you versus some other people who are the opposite skin type of you, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I'm a big proponent of using as clean and natural skincare as much as possible, because even just the allergic reaction or sensitivity to certain ingredients can also upset and disrupt your skin barrier and all that stuff. And anytime there is skin barrier disruption, you're more likely to get acne. Mm-hmm. And certain people, like common things that we see, anything that new you try, but you kind of forget about, and then you start having acne, people don't really realize. And then a lot of my patients too, I'll be like, oh, like, when did this start? And they're like, oh, you know, however many months ago. And we'll kind of talk and talk. And then they're like, oh, you know what? I started using this one new product by whoever, and I think that has something to do with it. And it's like, okay, why don't we eliminate it, get it out of your regimen, and see if the acne goes away, and voila.
Yeah. I definitely think there's like merit to understanding your own skin and knowing your skin type and understanding what products are going to be more comedogenic or more acne causing for you versus other people, because everyone is really different in terms of like their own natural oil production. I've also even heard from patients too that like their skin type has changed, like their skin type will change with treatment, because you may be considering yourself like an oily person, but then you go through treatment and get to the root cause of maybe why you're overproducing oil. Like, for example, in a PCOS situation, if they're producing excess amount of androgens. So androgens are produced by our primarily by our adrenal glands, and they actually work to increase sebum production. And so, like we mentioned with the spironolactone, that's why a lot of people get put on that medication, because you're essentially just trying to turn off androgen production. But if you get to the root cause of why you're producing a lot of androgens, that can like open a door into like getting to understand, you know, why your body was producing that much oil to begin with. And through treatment, you might be able to actually decrease that production naturally. So I think that's a big plug too, of understanding hormones. You talked a lot about too cortisol, like cortisol also produced by our adrenal glands, right? And has a relationship with oil production. But I think the piece on stress too, that a lot of people don't realize, is that the stress actually relates to the inflammation level. So it's kind of like a double whammy. That's something to be mindful of. It's not just like broad sweeping, use this one product or take this one supplement or avoid this one vitamin. It's multifaceted. Acne is definitely a multifaceted must be taken from a holistic approach for proper healing.
Shall we talk about our approaches when it comes to acne and naturopathic medicine?
Yeah, let's go for it.
For me, because you know me, I take a lot of things from that gut perspective. Mm-hmm. If it's indicated, like especially if it's someone who has acne and there's a lot of like digestive stuff going on as well, we start talking about what's going on with the digestion. And then we can even do like comprehensive stool panel, and oftentimes just a lot of gut dysbiosis. And gut dysbiosis is a fancy word to basically say your microbiome, the bacteria, fungus, viruses, and things like that that live within your gut are just out of whack, out of balance. So depending on what we find, we'll kind of do a lot of protocols alongside that. Typically, you know, killing overgrowth things if there's any, doing some gut repair lining, addressing food sensitivity if that's something that is contributing and causing acne as well. You alluded to this earlier, but like micronutrient testing, making sure there's no deficiencies in things like common things like vitamin D, omegas, when it comes to acne end of things, hormones, cortisol, like stress management, evaluation, all that kind of sort of stuff too. And I'm a little more surprised, if I really think about it, of how much talk there goes into the hygiene end of things, like how to properly wash your face, how to properly wash your body, how to or what to switch to a different product, whether it's a face product or a body product or hair product. Something that a lot of people don't realize is that a lot of your hair products can be comedogenic, especially if you're getting a lot of breakouts around like your back or like, you know, lower back or even like chest area, or sometimes even for like my females, like around like the bra strap. So, you know, a lot of those.
Yeah, I definitely think like my initial approach is really understanding what people are currently doing for their skin and trying to understand like the factors that are maybe contributing to why they're having acne. So like understanding how often things are like being cleaned. So that big hygiene piece is something I talk about, and like their regimen or their kind of like what they're currently doing for their skin. And then I always will make a recommendation that they go and see an esthetician. I have a couple of estheticians that I refer out to just because I like that aspect of understanding your skin type, getting a deep, thorough clean, getting recommendations for clean products. So I will often recommend an esthetician at like an, or they use organic products or cleaner products. And you know, even just having them go once, I always tell my patients, like, just even go once. It's, I realize it's an out-of-pocket expense. It can be expensive. We're not really looking for, like, if you can afford to go regularly, like, great. But I just want you to go and get information about your skin and get really a really good recommendation on that, because I realize that, like, I'm a naturopathic doctor and I have a different perspective on like skin health, but I realize that it is like an integrative approach, and really having that information helps me because I am trained in this stuff, but I'm not a dermatologist, right? Like some people are naturopathic dermatologists, but I like to have more information. Testing, getting to the root causes. You kind of mentioned too, like fungal acne is something I've been seeing so much more commonly these days. And I think one thing to understand even about like candida on the skin or a fungal overgrowth on the skin is that a lot of times that is not even a root cause. Like fungal or candida overgrowth is an opportunistic situation that requires like a very disrupted terrain or disrupted microbiome in your gut, on your skin, in order for that to even happen. So oftentimes, like, you know, I do tell patients, okay, we're going to treat this fungal source, but deeper than that, we need to do some deeper healing, deeper, you know, dysbiosis management, so that this issue doesn't come back, because there's a reason why it happened in the first place, right? So I think that is a big one. And then also just making sure, like you mentioned, people are not nutrient deficient and, you know, not lacking the basic minerals or vitamins necessary for adequate skin turnover and recovery and anti-inflammatory things. Omega-3s are a big one that I oftentimes will talk to people about. And that's another one that gets put on that list of like, you shouldn't take omega-3 fatty acids because it's oil-based supplements and they're going to cause clogs. Like, I've seen people discount omega-3 supplements so much with acne. Have you seen these?
No.
You're on the B12 ones.
Yeah, I'm on the B12 ones. But
because I've seen providers tell people to not use oil-based products at all, even like omega-3 fatty acids. And I'm like, excuse me, every single cell in our body is lined with these fatty acids. Like, you need them.
Are they dehydrated?
I have no idea.
They must have really bad skin barrier.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. But like, it's kind of that similar idea of like, okay, oils are comedogenic, so we need to avoid all oils topically, orally, et cetera, et cetera. Like, I've even seen stuff with vitamin D. People saying don't take liquid vitamin D gels. And I'm like, no, excuse me. Stop that. Stop telling people that.
I'm so confused.
I know. That's how I was when I saw it too. I was like, excuse me, we don't go around telling people to avoid buckets of nutrients just because they're oil-based or fat soluble, right? Like, these things are need to be tested, because what are people going to do? They're not going to go, they're going to take your word for it and they're going to avoid these things and then they're going to go nutrient deficient. That is a big problem, right?
That's how rumors start.
Exactly. So just another, you know, we, by this point, you should know that we as naturopathic physicians like to have people test and understand what their actual nutrient deficiencies are before we are making recommendations. So just another plug for testing.
I'm lost for words. Wow. You know what I actually tell people, you know, when it comes to like going back to the fungal end of things, because some people, they're like, I don't know if I have fungal acne. I don't respond to, you know, topical or oral antibiotics, or they've been on it for so long that it's not responsive. And a lot of times when you're on a recurrent or chronic regimen of antibiotics, is usually the opportunity that these fungal things, candida, malassezia, other fungal things can overgrow. So if you're ever in a state where you're thinking, oh, do I have fungal acne? There's an easy way to test for it at home. Buy a ketoconazole-based shampoo, so typically Nizoral, or even tea tree-based soap, facial soap. Use it for a good week to see if you see any sort of improvement in your acne. If it does, well, there's your answer.
That's an easy over-the-counter find that you can do, right?
Yeah.
I think that the other thing that I oftentimes will see too with patients who have acne is this kind of sense of what we call lymphatic acne, or this level of like detox that's not happening. And so that's something I commonly find, like, yes, you can test for your abilities of your body's ability to detox, but sometimes it's not always like very cut and dry when you test for it. Like, I've had patients who have had signs of lymphatic acne, especially when it's like around the neck, around the ears, along their jawline or chin, right? A lot of the acne presents where like your lymphatic channels are, and we'll test their like liver enzymes, and their liver enzymes are normal, right? Like, your liver enzymes have to be, your liver has to be really like going through it to have an elevated level of liver enzymes. And so sometimes these things may not show up on testing, but that's why you want to go see a provider that can like look and assess and even just be able to diagnose accurately what type of acne it is, because acne is a broad term and there are different types. They are located in different parts of the body depending on root causes. So I think that's something to work with a provider on, and like, what type of acne do I specifically have? Because that's going to gauge treatment.
One of my favorite things when it comes to adjunctive treatment of lymphatic acne, or just a good detox support, is getting a lymphatic drainage massage. And it can be, you know, targeted. You can do a whole body one. I've done one, a couple of them actually, with one of my referral gals who does lymphatic massage. And she's so great. But it is crazy how good you'll feel. You'll see detox pretty much right away, and so much improvement in your skin too. So if that's something that's around you, give it a try. One thing I also want to talk about very briefly is like people using coconut oil topically. For some people, it works really well, but do know that it's actually comedogenic for some people. So I had to find that the hard way in my early days of life. So some people, you know, use like olive oil or jojoba oil or almond oil or coconut oil or whatever, you know, so many different oils that are out there, rosehip oil. So even if you try one oil and it doesn't work for your skin type, that just means you just have to kind of keep trying until you find the right one.
There's like a very, there's a list of like commonly found products or commonly found ingredients that are in a lot of these skincare products that are known to be comedogenic. So you could do an easy search for those types of things and just do a check of your own products and see like if there are actually some like acne forming or acne prone products that you're using. The other thing that I was going to mention too about acne is there is this kind of big piece of that I've been seeing so much more recently about people, just any person off the street getting access to tretinoin cream and using tretinoin cream as like their own for their own skin health if they have acne or if not, because some people have taken, I realize some people have taken Accutane, but some people have actually just used tretinoin cream, which is like, it works similarly to Accutane, but it's kind of just for like skin cell turnover and things like that. I know that there's like a debate going on right now regarding like people being against people using tretinoin and people being for people using tretinoin. And I think for me personally, I've also used it, not like daily, but it's kind of one of those things that I find is like helpful for keeping my skin like the way that I like healthy and just like feeling like my skin is a good texture and even tone and all of that kind of stuff. But I realized that like that is a really that's a like a really touchy debate. I think most dermatologists have no problem with prescribing it for people who have acne prone skin and just like for kind of prevention. I realize that it's a medication, but it's a very well researched product. It's a very well researched medication. And I think it from a naturopathic standpoint, like in those situations where, okay, maybe you've gone through treatment and you're just looking for something to kind of sustain or prevent new acne pustules from forming, that could be something that you incorporate as part of your regimen of like treatment.
I wasn't aware of this debate.
Yeah. Some people say that they don't like tretinoin cream because people are getting on it too early and it's giving them a waxy appearance, or it's kind of making their skin more like, I guess the term would be like vulnerable to vulnerable down the line if you used it for a longer period of time. For a lot of my patients, I find that like after we've gone through treatment, as like if I feel like it's helpful for them, I will prescribe it, not on for regular use. Oftentimes it's just like once or twice a week use, and then also counseling on like adequate, making sure that you're not drying out your skin.
You know what's crazy is I know someone, it's not a patient of mine, I just know someone who uses tretinoin, and I don't know the dose that this person has, but I'm pretty sure it's like relatively on the higher like mid to high level of tretinoin. And this is alleged, this is something I heard from a friend of a friend of a friend sort of a thing, that they use this tretinoin, high, mid to high strength tretinoin every single day. And I'm just like, okay, that kind of makes sense because I've seen this person does have pretty like flaky, dry, like red inflamed skin. And if it's like something like that, then like, okay, you don't want to be using something like that every single day, every single time, until your skin barrier is all healed up.
Right.
So in that case, sure, like don't use tretinoin. Tretinoin is really great when it comes to, like Dr. Britt said, of resurfacing and having that cell skin turnover. It's also almost equivalent to like you getting an exfoliation, whether it's chemical or physical. Let's call it chemical. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's also kind of a lot of beauty to the use of tretinoin is that you want to make sure you're using it properly. You want to make sure also if you're someone who tends to purge with tretinoin, that you're kind of sandwiching between like moisturizers and oils, and you're wearing sunscreen, you know, every single day to prevent more of that sensitivity of your skin. It's not a bad medication at all. If anything, it works for a lot of people. I use it.
It's very well researched too. We've used it for many years in medicine. And I feel like that's the thing too about naturopathic medicine that I feel people are like surprised by, is that a lot of these medications were like, you know, conventional providers are even like anti using it. Some are, but we're like, there's a time and a place, right? There's a time and a place for everything. It's not always black and white. It's always shades of gray. People are different, right? So I think that's the thing, like even just working with a provider who has the capacity to even prescribe it for you is important.
You know, we can go on and about retinoids or tretinoids, but like there's a prescription stuff. There's also like over-the-counter stuff. There's also retinal, which is different than retinol. Like, again, speak with a provider, speak with an esthetician, speak with someone who like knows all of the ins and outs to give you all the information. And it's really up to you as the patient to make that decision, knowing all the information, right? Don't ever feel like you're forced to take antibiotics because you have to, minus if you have an infection. But, you know, or like you have to slather on tretinoin if that doesn't align with you or that doesn't address what's going on. You know, same goes for like supplements or like even other things. Make sure that you have the information. Make sure you're aware of all these things and then make that decision. That was our conversation with acne. That was a pretty long conversation.
Mm-hmm.
If you like this episode, give our episode a thumbs up, like, subscribe, follow us on social media. Maybe one episode we can do like we can have like a little like show and tell of our like,
oh my God, I would love that. Yeah, I would love that.
Cause that's one of my favorite things to talk to people
about.
We
love sharing like what we're currently using and all of that. And if you're interested, make sure you follow and then we'll see you guys back more for more episodes of season 2. So be real
and stay well.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Real Docs podcast. Don't forget to like and share this episode and follow us on our social media pages. Tune in every Wednesday for more episodes.